Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear directly from you. The number is 844-322-2742, so if you have questions or issues you'd like to talk about, we cordially invite your call right now. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, the number, of course, is always the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But right now, it's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Boy, we're still just in the heat of a lot of craziness going on out there in the world, aren't we?
Yes, indeed, we are.
Lots of looting and protest, and you know, some of the protesters are out there doing great things. They're protesting for legitimate reasons, and then right alongside you have people that are using those protests as opportunities for evil, for their own personal gain. We see all of that, but you know, and looking at a lot of the news feeds, looking at a lot of the stories that are coming out of this, what we're seeing is kind of a way that the world operates. And James nails it. I mean, he absolutely nails it in his letter. And starting in chapter 2, he says, "My brother, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." Mm. And what you're seeing out there, just really in vivid color, is partiality on full display.
Yeah.
You're seeing how different groups favor other groups and one another, and that's really the sin. It's the sin of partiality.
Yeah.
And with that, feeds into the racial tensions and all of that sort of stuff. So here's what James has to say: show no partiality. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You stand over there or sit down at my feet," have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Mm-hmm. So what does this sin of partiality tell you about a person? It says that they have become a judge with evil thoughts. And we see that those evil thoughts being lived out in the world today,
yes,
don't we?
We do, indeed.
So if you show favor to one group over another group, then you're going to treat the group that you are showing favor to favorably. Mm-hmm. You're going to treat the other group unfavorably. That's just the way it is. That's just the way this sin of partiality spells itself out in real life. And the root of it is the fact that you are making yourself a judge. You're sitting there as a judge with evil thoughts. And I think James just absolutely nails this, hits the nail right on the head, and tells us what's really going on in the world. This is a pattern of the world. So when Paul writes to us and says, "I don't want you to be conformed to the patterns of the world, but I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind," what is he talking about? Well, this is one of the things that he's talking about. Before you knew Christ, you showed partiality. You showed favoritism. It's just like Peter showed favoritism to the Jews over the Gentiles, mm-hmm. until Paul called them out on that very sin. And Peter should have known better. Why? Because he had received a vision from the Lord, this sheet coming down and animals of every kind, and this voice saying, "Take and eat." And Peter saying, "Oh, no, I don't want to defile myself. I don't want to become unclean." And he didn't really get what that vision was all about until Cornelius sent some people for him. Mm-hmm. And Peter gladly went with them. And finally, it all clicked. Wait a minute. God is right now about to save some Gentiles, just like he did with the Jews. So God does not show partiality.
Right.
He does not show favoritism. He has offered Jesus to anyone who will call upon his name. He has put forth Jesus as a propitiation for the sins of the entire world. So anyone, whether Jew or Gentile, who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, what does God do with those people who are now saved? He puts them together in a body called the body of Christ. It's one new man where Jew and Gentile can exist and actually love one another. Mm-hmm. That wasn't happening before the gospel started hitting human hearts. So when James says, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, this is what the Spirit of God begins to renew the mind about, that every single human being has dignity as far as God is concerned. God sent Jesus to die for that person's sins. When you look at somebody in the eye and you recognize that Jesus died for them, you know that life matters. It doesn't matter the skin color. It doesn't matter social background. It doesn't matter about financial position in life. Mm-hmm. That person matters. Why? Because Jesus died for that person.
Yes.
Therefore, I'm going to treat every person through that framework. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let the gospel of Jesus Christ be the glasses that I look at people through. And when I look at people through the glasses and lenses of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I cannot show partiality. We just can't do it.
Yeah.
Why? Because you're seeing that person as God sees them. And when you see a person as God sees them, then you treat them as God treats them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the God who saved you is alive, living in you, and he is moving you to treat him in love, in respect, in dignity, in all things.
Great thoughts, Bob, as we get this edition of Basic Gospel underway. Thank you for that. People, we have open lines for you right now at 844. I don't know why I do that. I say people now instead of friends. And they're people, but they're still friends, aren't
they? Yes, indeed.
Okay. Anyway, 844-322-2742. Just wanted to address that. We have open lines for you if you'd like to speak directly with Bob Christopher and me on this edition of Basic Gospel. Why, we encourage you to check the clock, look at the clock, about 7 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time. And if that's the time you have on your clock, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. And friends, your gifts to and through Basic Gospel carry significant impact. They mean that we can continue producing resources that help prepare you to walk by faith in Jesus Christ every day of your life. Things like the Hear, Believe, and Live daily devotional. Many of our friends start every day being reminded of the simple truth, the profound truth of your identity in the Lord Jesus Christ as a child of God. And if you have not yet subscribed, we invite you to go there right now. Go online to basicgospel.net and click the subscribe link right at the top left corner of the home page. Again, that's at basicgospel.net, top left corner, click subscribe. And that's just one of the many ways that your gifts make it possible for us to continue doing the things that that have a present and eternal benefit for you, our listeners. And as we approach the end of our fiscal year, please keep this in mind as you consider your year-end gift to Basic Gospel. Your gifts are what keep the good news coming, and this fiscal year-end is a vital time. As always, you can make your gift at basicgospel.net. If you prefer to mail your gift, the address at basicgospel.net, I'm sorry, Basic Gospel is 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, that's 751 Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Well, once again, open lines 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you. In the meantime, Bob, a question that came in off hours.
Hi, Bob. This is Ted from Alexandria, Virginia. My question is about Old Testament saints. Now, under the New Covenant and after Pentecost, when we receive Christ, we are born again and become a new creation. What kind of identity did the people in the Old Testament who were saints, who believed the promise, had? I mean, were they still in Adam? Did they still have an identity that they had a wicked heart? I appreciate any insights you might have on that. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Well, Ted, great question. What was the status of the Old Testament saints? And what we know is this, that they were credited righteousness. So they believed God concerning the revelation that God gave them in their lifetime. they believed God, and God credited that as righteousness. So Abraham is kind of the role model, the prototype for that. He believed God concerning the promise of a son, and concerning the promise that through that son, through that seed, the world would be blessed. Mm-hmm. So that was a prophecy about Jesus Christ. That was a revelation about Jesus Christ. And when Abraham believed that, it was credited to him as righteousness. So he was considered to be one that belonged to God. He was marked out as one that belonged to God. He was a part of the people of God. And when he died, he went into a place called paradise. And once the finished work was complete, then he received what you and I received. So we see that in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, "And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And what was promised was the Holy Spirit, that you and I would be given the Holy Spirit." So they didn't receive that gift of the Holy Spirit. And it says, "Since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect." So when the finished work was done, then those Old Testament saints were ushered into the very presence of Jesus, just as we are when we're absent from the body and present with Christ Jesus. So they were credited righteousness to their account. We received that righteousness. So the example of their faith and the righteousness that they were given as a result of that faith stands as an example for you and me. Mm-hmm. So when we believe the good news, we are made righteous. So since Jesus comes to live inside of us, we receive his righteousness. So it's more than just being credited to our account. It goes much deeper than that for you and for me.
Yeah.
So they didn't receive everything that we received. They did not receive what was promised. Their faith was in something that was looking forward to the promised Messiah. So they were saved in hope, in the hope of what was to come. Jesus came, we're saved, and we get the real thing.
Yeah.
But now they're experiencing that fullness of their salvation.
Ted, great question. Thanks for reaching out. Loved hearing from you. And again, friends, if you'd like to reach out to us, just give us a call at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Bob, we had another call that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hey, guys. My name's Kurt. And my question is, I have been in a relationship for 2 years, and for the last 2 years, I haven't really been living for the Lord. And for the recently, throughout this whole pandemic, I've been spending more time alone, and would like to know, the current girlfriend that I'm with would like to get married, but my concern is she does say she's a Christian, but we're having some hot topics about certain things about the Bible, if it's true or not. And I'm concerned she won't fully submit that the Bible's true, and that if I point out something to her that it might contradict what she says. Should I be concerned if I have a fire to live for the Lord? Is it okay to maybe not have as much fire on her end? If she's not as excited about reading, if it's maybe not 100% fired up, would that be a warning sign? Just would like to get your thoughts on that. Thanks.
That's a tough one, huh?
Yes, it is. And, Kurt, it's a great question, and I'm so glad that you are asking it. And what I would say to you is, if you have red flags, don't ignore those red flags. I've just seen too many people ignore red flags, and it's come back to haunt them as they've moved forward in a relationship. So you have those red flags for a reason. They're warning flags for you, and I think you need to pay attention to it. The second thing is, you don't know how she's going to respond. I mean, there's no need to have fear in this situation. I think you could just have some conversations. Obviously, y'all like one another. Obviously, there's a friendship that's being established. And I think in that friendship, you can be able to discuss what you really believe, what's in your heart, and what's in her heart. And just as that gets revealed, then you're going to have a clearer picture of, do you move forward in this relationship or do you back away and go on about your life? Mm-hmm. So, Kirk, don't be fearful of what may happen in the future, that she might not have as much fire as you do. That could reverse. She may have more fire than you do at some point. There's always kind of when you speak in those terms, there's always ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
But what you want to know is this, is she in the Lord? Has she come to that place in her life where she recognizes that Jesus died for her sins, that Jesus was buried on that third day, he was raised back to life, so that she could be raised to life and experience a newness of life through faith in him. So start with the gospel message. What's your understanding of the gospel message? What's her understanding of the gospel message? And if things line up there, then keep moving forward. Keep talking about the grace of God. Talking about what it means that Christ died for your sins. Talk about what it means to have Christ living in you, and how that can spell itself out in this relationship. So just go at it knowing that God has your best interests at heart, that God has her best interests at heart. And if this thing isn't meant to be, then I think you will have a clear idea about that. It won't be a mystery. It's just if you come to a point and you think, hey, I need to back out of this, are you going to be willing to do that?
Yeah.
And that's always the issue. Mm-hmm. We usually know what we're supposed to do or know what we should do. It's, do we have the courage to do it? Mm-hmm. That's always the issue. Most people who come in for counseling, Bob, they're asking for advice. What should I do in this situation? And when you talk to them about what's actually happening and get kind of a picture, and you say, well, what do you think you should do?
Yeah.
And they'll tell you the answer. And I said, well, that's exactly right. So what's the problem? They're not willing to do that, mm-hmm. or they don't have enough courage, or they're afraid of what might happen if they do take that step mm-hmm. of faith. So, Kirk, no need to fear this. You have a friendship. Build into that friendship, and I think you'll see clearly if you should move forward or not.
Great question, Kurt. Hope this is a help to you, and we would love for you to continue to contact us if you have further questions. And, you know, friends, we're at the end of our fiscal year this month, and we ask you to begin now considering what your gift might be to enable us to continue to produce resources and programming that have meaning in your walk with Jesus Christ every day. Bob and I, of course, count it an honor and a privilege to be here on the air and online to tell the story of God's great love for his creation, including you and me. And many of us have stepped up, many of you have stepped up with your giving to support Basic Gospel as we move forward. Bob, your thoughts on this year in giving?
Well, we really need your help. We certainly had a downturn in giving when this coronavirus hit. I think everybody did at that particular time. March was probably the lowest giving month we've ever experienced here at Basic Gospel.
Wow.
But that turned around somewhat in the month of April, and it's kind of leveled off. And we certainly need your help. And we're not asking you to put money in our pockets. We're asking you to invest in the power of the gospel. I think a lot of hearts are being revealed through this. A lot of people are being able to see themselves truthfully and honestly, maybe for the first time in their lives. And they're wondering, how can I fix myself? How can I address the fears that are deep within my heart? How can I address that emptiness that I'm experiencing? And the world offers no solutions.
No.
There is nothing out there that can fill a person's heart. Only the Lord Jesus can do that. So we want to continue putting the power of the gospel out there to as many people as possible. So your gift enables that gospel message to go out, to cut through all the confusion, all the clutter of this world, all the chaos of this world, and actually speak directly to a human heart. That's what the gospel does.
Yes.
It speaks directly to the human heart, and it gives peace and hope and a sense of, hey, here's truth. So keep that message going out. You can do so by partnering with Basic Gospel. And we want you to be a part of what God is doing through this outreach, and you can do so quite easily by simply going to basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net, and click the donate button. And we would love for you to be a monthly partner. But our urgent need is June 30th. Yeah. We started out this month needing 200,000 to finish the year on a strong note, and we're whittling that down. But we need your help. So a gift of any amount, if you can give $50, please give $50. If you can give $500, please give $500. If you can give $5,000, please give $5,000. Whatever you can do to help invest in the power of the gospel, to send it out and to cut through all the confusion, all the clutter, all the chaos, and allow this gospel message to speak directly to the hearts of people all over this world and to anchor them in the love of Jesus Christ.
And as we close the program in a few minutes, I'll be giving all the ways that you can make your gift to Basic Gospel this very day, as a matter of fact. In the meantime, Bob, this question from Neil, a Facebook viewer. Hope all is well with my Basic Gospel friends. I've done some wandering in the wilderness, but it seems like Jesus is fueling up the bus or whatever. He's on his way, and I want to be about my Father's business as well, so I've been reengaged. You mentioned Ian Thomas's view on chapter 3 and the book of John, chapter 3, and Bob Christopher's are not the same on 6-2-20. That was the broadcast date. He said, I didn't catch the broadcast when it first came up, so some of us maybe need a clearer understanding. Nicodemus sarcastically asked Jesus what he meant to be born again. Do I crawl back into my mother's womb? From my understanding, we are born in Adam, the flesh, and we must be born by Jesus, in Jesus, as spirit. The second birth, or different birth, is natural and needs to occur. What did I miss in that dialogue?
Well, as far as your question, Neil, you didn't miss anything. I mean, it's very clear that we need to be born again. You're not going to be a part of the kingdom unless you've been born of the Spirit. So, yes, we were born in Adam. He was our family head. And we're born again into Christ. And he becomes our new family head, and we become co-heirs with him. So, yes, we must be born again. The question really centered around the phrase born of water. What does it mean to be born of water? And you can take it two different ways. You can say, well, that means to be born naturally, to be born of the flesh. And there's a lot of people that believe that, and I think that's a fine way to interpret that. So I have no issue with that whatsoever. But I think that it ties back to Ezekiel 36, where he says that we are going to receive a new spirit. He's going to remove that heart of stone from the flesh and give us a heart of flesh. He's going to put a new spirit on us, and he's going to cleanse us, sprinkle clean water on us and cleanse us. And then in Titus chapter 3, it says we're going to experience the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. So I think there's a tie-in to those three passages, Ezekiel 36, John 3, and Titus 3. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, there is a washing of regeneration, there is a renewal of the Holy Spirit, and that's the good news of the gospel.
Absolutely. Neil, thanks for reaching out. Good to hear from you, brother. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for being with us for this edition. Now, overnight, if you have Bible questions or life issue concerns that you'd like us to discuss, you can give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. And again, that number is 844-322-2742. Also, remember what we were talking about just a few moments ago. Keep in mind that this is the end of our fiscal year, the month of June, and we ask you to prayerfully consider what your gift might be to help us meet year-end needs and be able to continue to produce resources and programming that make a difference for all of us. You can make your gift online at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or email or mail your gift to Basic Gospel at 751 Hebron Parkway, Lewisville, Texas, 75057. That's Suite 310. We'll be back tomorrow. See you then. Bye-bye.